If you have a Bible, I would invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. Luke 24, 50 through 53. As we think for a few moments about living with resurrection. This is after the resurrection and the very close of the gospel according to Luke. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. If the weeping tree were where today ended, we would continue to experience sadness. The weeping tree brings good news on two fronts. First of all, good news in the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf so that we did not have to do that. And secondly, good news because after that death, on Easter Sunday, around the dawn of the day, Jesus was no longer in the tomb, but Jesus is alive. I remember in systematic theology class, Dr. James Tull, my systematic theology professor, who during World War II had served as a chaplain. And he talked about the first time he ever served in that capacity out in the field. And he had drawn the lot to serve with the Roman Catholic chaplain that day. And as he walked in to set things up, he noticed the Catholic chaplain had already placed some items on the table at the front. And on that table was a crucifix with the image of Jesus still hanging there in great agony and an empty cross. And as Dr. Tull got to talking with him about this, the Catholic chaplain looked at him and said, "Well, I always try to use both the crucifix, the symbol of death, and the empty cross. Because I have found that far too often, you Protestants focus on that empty cross and an empty tomb, and you kind of forget about what it took to get there. And so I use a crucifix to remind Protestants of the suffering and the pain on their behalf." He said, "On the other hand, we Catholics sometimes tend to focus so much on that, we forget about the good news of the empty cross and the empty tomb." He said, "So I make sure that I use an empty cross as well to draw the attention to the fact that it didn't just stop with the anguish and the pain, but there was something even more." And so today we have both a reminder of the pain and suffering and a reminder of the empty cross. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to experience that first Easter? To have been there for the crucifixion? I mean, those folks thought it was over with. The empty tomb? Perhaps we would have been like Simon Peter and denied Jesus when our life seemed to be at stake. "Oh no, I'd never do that." Ah, but maybe so. Or maybe we would have been like the other disciples, maybe even Thomas, and would have been dumbfounded or doubting. Well, you know, we have the advantage of nearly two millennia of hindsight. Nearly two millennia of tradition. But those first followers came on Easter Sunday morning with the horror of crucifixion, with all of its sadness all too fresh in their minds and weighing heavily upon their hearts. It was not sanitized like we often make it now in the 21st century. The women came to the tomb. They found it empty, and they reported the empty tomb to the other disciples, and none of them understood what it meant. Not a one of them. They didn't understand why it had happened this way. In fact, they weren't sure where the body was at that point in time. The empty tomb was not enough. Phil Nall, writing about this, writes, and I quote, "The empty tomb does not lead to faith. Not one person in the biblical witness came to faith over finding the tomb empty." End of quote. Critics and witnesses then and now see the empty tomb as, some say, treachery at its worst, or some form of resuscitation at its best. Roman Catholic theologian Walter Casper, in his book Jesus the Christ, writes, and I quote, "The decision for or against Easter faith is not taken on the grounds of some miraculous event and an empty tomb, but on whether one is ready to see reality from God's viewpoint and to rely totally upon God in living and dying." Lazarus had been raised from the dead, but Lazarus died again. And notice the church does not say in its creeds, nor does the text say, Christ was risen. The church and the text say, Christ is risen. Because Christian faith is not out of a belief that Jesus lived again by resuscitation. Christian faith was and is born in a believer's experience. Experience of resurrection. Experience of Jesus the Christ. In meeting Jesus again for the very first time with open eyes in a new way as living Lord. Russ Dean says, "Mary reported her encounter with Jesus to the disciples. He," that is Jesus, "called her name. He looked into her eyes. He offered again the hope and peace and promise of life, which she found. Easter only came to Mary then." And so the disciples gathered and worshipped Mary's belief that Jesus was alive. But worshipping someone else's belief is never enough to engender true faith. It was only when they experienced that resurrected Christ that the empty tomb took on the significance, that the cross really could be understood. When Jesus came to them, you know, Peter and Andrew, James and John did what? They went back to fishing. They did. They went back to fishing. They thought it was over with. But when Jesus came to them by the sea, when they had fished all night long and they had come up empty, and they saw Jesus, not recognizing who it was at first, and he told them to drop their nets, and the boat was almost swamped by the fish, Peter came ashore and began to understand his faith at that point. Not the faith when he had first met Jesus, or the faith when he had seen Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. Not even the faith when he had stated that Jesus was the Christ. And certainly not the faith when he had denied him that short time earlier. Rather, when he broke bread with the living Christ who offered grace, grace which overcame his denial. And by the way, if you go to John and you find Jesus there, and when he says three different times to Peter, "Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep." It's not accidental. That was forgiveness for each of the three times that Simon Peter had said, "I don't even know the man." Then, when he found that, and found that Jesus was living, his faith, his resurrection faith, became full. Then, it was about Jesus living. It's still about Jesus living with us and within us. It's about a new life, a life full and abundant, living with the resurrection, not just on Easter Sunday, but living with the resurrection every day. And especially to live the resurrection, continually blessing the God who blesses us. Luke's gospel begins with praise in the temple. If you go back to the beginning of the gospel, it begins with praise in the temple. And Zechariah, John the Baptizer's father, Luke's gospel ends where it began. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually blessing God in the temple. Though there were certainly doubts among the disciples at different points, Luke understands that faith always grows through doubt and sometimes through relapse. New hearings and new seeings until it finally achieves fulfillment as a witness for Jesus. Jesus does what the priest could not truly accomplish. This resurrected Christ here at the end raises his hands and blesses the disciples and blesses you and me, which enables us to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. Jesus is risen. He is Lord. Therefore, his resurrection issues forth in a call to service. As the resurrected Christ, as the risen Lord, he gives faith where it is needed. To those who believe, he gives the power to live resurrection faith. When we experience the living Christ in resurrection faith, the one who accepted dinner invitations from tax collectors and Pharisees alike, the one who broke bread with his betrayer, even on the night he was betrayed, his denying disciple he forgave, and who instructed his disciples to accept and forgive, then we will find that our experience of him is not just a moment in worship. It's a process. A process of formation through which we go, being guided by the Spirit and the teachings of Jesus himself. And part of our living with resurrection will find us faithfully worshiping with great joy and continually in the temple, the church, blessing God. Not just as someone changed my Creaster thing recently to the CEO's Christmas, Easter only, but not just as occasional. But the text said they were continually in the temple blessing God so that they might continually bless God in the larger temple of the world. Living with resurrection brings us to the point where we make decisions daily of following a living Christ or being trapped in a prison which keeps us from experiencing his grace. May you live with resurrection. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.